Hey everybody, I'm Allen Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. Today, I have a very special guest with me, Sarah. Welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be here. This is so fun to be with you and your company and experience all that your ministry is doing. Your podcasts are amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Well, we are honored to have you with us. And I actually met Sarah about 5 years ago at a women's retreat and was just so excited to hear about the fact that she had founded a ministry in North Carolina called True Justice International to help sex trafficking. And I think that at the time that was really a new concept to me. And I always tell people the very first time you learned about sex trafficking, it's like you never forget it because you can't believe that this is happening. And so Sarah founded True Justice. And so today we want to talk about sex trafficking, why this is happening, and how you can get involved with being a part of the solution. So, Sarah, why don't you start off by sharing with us a little bit about your journey personally in how you got involved? Because lots of people hear about sex trafficking, but you said, I'm going to do something about it. And so can you just, from the initial, just take us on that journey?
Right. It's so cool how God puts these little details together in your life, and sometimes big details. So my journey begins in 2009 when a friend of mine came over to my house, and she had just gotten back from a Joyce Meyer conference, and she said, Sarah, you're not going to believe this, but did you know that human trafficking is happening in Greece? And she specifically brought that connection up with me because my husband's Greek. We have Greek family. We travel there at least mm-hmm. once a year to build a relationship with mm-hmm. them. And she knew it was going to rock my world. Mm-hmm. And little did she know, I think, how much of an impact it would have mm-hmm. on me. Mm-hmm. So I looked at Jen and I was like, you have got to be kidding me. That mm-hmm. is not true. You know, when you go to Greece, it's beauty and churches and wonderful food. Mm-hmm. And it's just an amazing place to be. And I said, I don't believe it. So I went on the internet, started Googling. Of course, mm-hmm. that's where we try to figure out what the truth is. Mm-hmm. It's our resource, unfortunately. Sometimes that resource can be very confusing.
Right. Yeah.
And we'll talk about that, hopefully, about how the internet really plays into the trafficking today. But there it was. Mm-hmm. And I immediately knew that God was calling me to go. And I mm-hmm. said, Jen, we're going to go. And we're mm-hmm. going to do something about this. And she laughed. She said, well, you might be going, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. And guess what? 3 months later, we were both on an airplane with mm-hmm. a group of 8 other ladies. Mm-hmm. And we flew into Athens, Greece. Mm-hmm. And we worked with 2 organizations there. One called Nea Zoe, which mm-hmm. means new life in Greek. Mm-hmm. And the other one is called Helping Hands, which is an mm-hmm. organization that works in Athens. And they serve refugees from Afghanistan, Iran, mm-hmm. and Iraq. Mm-hmm. And Syria, now that there's a new crisis coming mm-hmm. With the refugees, mm-hmm. they receive those people that come into Athens. So I had experience before with Helping Hands, so I was already familiar with that organization, but this was my first time working in the anti-trafficking field. And we had just an amazing connection there with both of these organizations. And before we even landed in Greece and made all these connections, we were very strategic with our prayer. And I think mm-hmm. this is so foundational for our ministry mm-hmm. today, is the power of prayer and understanding mm. that before we move and before we do anything, we have really got to hear from the Lord.
Yeah.
And so that was a strategy that we implemented, and it was something we called prayer walking. Okay. And we actually mapped out a place in our neighborhood as if it was the streets of Athens. And we prayed very specific, targeted prayers mm-hmm. for those nights that we were going to be in the brothels and on the streets of Athens, Greece. And amazingly,
God answered all of those prayers.
Wow, I've got chills.
Awesome. I mean, it builds my faith even today, thinking back mm-hmm. how he miraculously protected us, mm-hmm. how he divinely connected the ministry that night with two women mm-hmm. that one of them ended up being rescued and mm-hmm. one of them they had been looking for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest prayer that I didn't even really understand I was praying, but yet mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit was just going, working through our team, mm-hmm. is that we were all called now into full-time ministry after that experience. Mm. Our lives were forever changed, mm-hmm. forever impacted. Mm-hmm. And since then, as we've continued to connect with Nea Zoe over in Athens, mm-hmm. Greece, and mm-hmm. I've continued to go in those brothels and minister, you know, God has definitely continued to open my eyes. Mm-hmm. And give me a tremendous amount of compassion and love mm-hmm. and a vision for what we can do when we say yes to God.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And so then there was a shift and the Lord said, no, this is what you're doing now. You are going to be in this full-time ministry. What were the next steps that you took?
Well, logistically, you have to get your 501c3, and that mm-hmm. was way over my head, and mm-hmm. I felt completely overwhelmed with the steps of developing an organization. But from the very beginning, God had spoken into my heart that mm-hmm. this ministry was not about me, that it was about involving other women around the table, mm-hmm. listening, dialoguing, dreaming, and organizing what our vision is so that we can move this message mm-hmm. of God's love and hope out into the world. So the team got organized, and we began as the Pearl Ministry. Mm-hmm. I had an amazing experience during the first time after I came back from Athens. I was asked to speak at mm-hmm. a local church. Mm-hmm. And as I was preparing for that talk, I felt like I am totally not equipped to do mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. And so I called all the other ladies who had gone on the mission with me into Athens, and they said, I'm not going to be here. I can't do this. No, Sarah, you're doing it. And I was a nervous wreck. I said, I am not a public speaker, Lord. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And as I was driving to the church, the Holy Spirit spoke to me so clearly. He said, go back home, mm-hmm. get your pearl necklace that your sister gave you, mm-hmm. wear it, mm-hmm. and at the end of your talk, take it off, and you take that pearl necklace mm-hmm. and cut it, and ask mm-hmm. the women to come forward and take a pearl,
mm-hmm. I know that was pearl.
And to remember mm-hmm. to pray for these women, mm-hmm. but most of all, to remember to understand the power of healing that we need to receive first as Christian women, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. so that we can then offer it to others.
Wow. Wow.
So that was a very powerful moment and a turning point in my mm-hmm. life, because when those women came forward that mm-hmm. day after that talk, they all came forward with tears in their eyes. And when they were looking at me, mm-hmm. it wasn't me they were seeing. Mm-hmm. It was just the love of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they all took that pearl in their hand, and many of them still have it today. Wow. Wow. They yeah. come up, Sarah, I still have yeah. that pearl. And that began the Pearl Ministry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that message is so incredibly powerful, and it's based in the scripture of Matthew, the parables mm-hmm. of the pearl of great price. Mm-hmm. And the scripture says that there once was a merchant, and mm-hmm. upon finding the pearl of great price, he sold everything he had mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. for that one pearl. Mm-hmm. It still touches my heart today mm-hmm. because I see that as the lover of our souls, mm-hmm. Jesus, mm-hmm. who's willing to go to the depths of the sea. He's mm-hmm. willing to see that the hurt and the pain that has been in our lives can be turned into something beautiful when we give it to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. And that's how a pearl is formed.
Yeah, yeah.
And now science can prove that. And then you look back through the mm-hmm. scriptures and you see how God has woven these minute mm-hmm. details of how a pearl is formed, with a piece of dirt getting mm-hmm. caught in that oyster shell mm-hmm. and the chemical release that happens. Mm-hmm. And now we have the only gemstone that is formed by a living organism. Mm-hmm. That's a pearl.
Right.
And right. it's just an amazing parable of, I feel like, God's redeeming love for us.
Right.
And that the beauty that he sees in our lives.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I agree. And I love what you just said about how, you know, almost like the Lord knew when he was creating pearls, you know, that that would tell even a more intricate story. And I know that was really an awesome moment. Let's talk a little bit more about the problem of self-trafficking. And we had discussed this before you came on, and I think this is so important for listeners to hear because it is so powerful. But you said that you had gone to a conference and you had heard a speaker say that we don't have a sex trafficking problem. We have a love problem.
Right.
And so, you know, because we see this and we, you know, you want to know why it's happening. And so can you expound a little bit deeper on that? We don't have a sex trafficking problem. We have a love problem, that the void of love is right. really at the root, and how that plays out into people that would, you know, take advantage of children, or you know, how children find themselves victims of this horrific crime.
Yeah, it is a statement that will forever impact me. It really shifted my understanding of the issue and really confirmed my calling as a Christian that we have the answer. And that because of the love that God has placed in my heart for others and the love I've received from Him, that it is my calling to offer that and pray and see where we can introduce the love of God so that society can shift. I mean, this is we're in a real culture crisis. We have an identity crisis that is rooted in not feeling loved.
Yeah.
Not experiencing love.
Yeah.
The authenticity of it.
Yeah.
And I always love, or I always envision, you know, truly that in our hearts there is a space that only God can fill. And that's created, I believe, intentionally by Him so that we have that longing for relationship with Him. But, you know, the enemy, he always uses very similar tactics as God does, but he twists and perverts everything. So he understands that we have a need for love. So what does he do? He's going to try to exploit that need. So in our society today, we have so many young people that come from broken homes, in the foster care system, girls who have, you know, compared themselves to others and feel like they're just never quite good enough. And we, of course, have men that are lacking the quality relationships in their life and that feel like they're going to get it fulfilled through pornography and other means of addiction. And ultimately, we create a deeper void in our heart, and that space gets bigger, and the addictions and the vulnerabilities continue to increase on both sides of the exploiter and the exploited. It's a love problem. And so much of our efforts as Christians have got to be to incorporate the message of God's redeeming love into what is actually happening in society. It, like I said, it is truly a crisis. North Carolina ranks in the top 10 for the most human trafficking cases.
Really?
In the United States.
Wow.
So this isn't a problem that's happening in California or Florida, which obviously it is there too, but it's happening right here. And these are good families that are being impacted. And this is something that we as parents have to really be proactive in guarding our children and limiting their exposure to the internet, to social media sites. We as parents have to know what's happening on their iPhones and other devices.
Is that how the is that how they prey on their victims and get them? Is it mainly through the internet. You know, like I know I've heard a lot of stories that in foreign countries where there's extreme poverty that they, you know, some parents actually, you know, just are thought to believe that their child is going to get a job somewhere and they're just lied to so that right. that card is played. But how are these children preyed upon and, you know, find themselves trapped in that situation?
Yeah, there's so many different ways that exploiters use to victimize children in particular and, mm-hmm. and young adults. And again, I think we can go back to that love being an issue because so many young girls don't feel loved. Mm-hmm. And one of the main ways that traffickers lure young girls is through the boyfriend method. And there's actually a book out called Pimpology, and it trains. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, you can buy it on Amazon, and right. I hope none of your listeners would do that.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
But it is a trained brainwashing tactic that traffickers do, exploiting the need of love in the majority of mm-hmm. the young folks that are trafficked. But it also can be through economic mm-hmm. vulnerabilities too, mm-hmm. obviously. Mm-hmm. Here in the United States, that is an issue, but also definitely in foreign countries. Mm-hmm. The boyfriend tactic really seeks to bond with the victim through meeting her needs of affection and, you know, giving gifts. All the love languages, they know how to uh-huh. use and manipulate those.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. you've never been out to dinner? Don't worry, I'm going to take you to the finest restaurant. You've never uh-huh. had your nails done? I've got you covered. And then, you know, it turns into, well, you owe me now.
Right.
Yeah. And then the girls feel bonded to right. the trafficker and like they do owe him something.
Right.
So then they get placed in these horrible situations where they felt like they really loved the boyfriend, that the boy really loved them, but in actuality, it was all about money.
Wow.
You know? Wow. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
is. It is all about the money.
Yeah.
And I think it's so powerful for people to understand that, you know, when we go on the internet and watch pornography and mm-hmm. And we really exploit those people that are in those mm-hmm. videos because mm-hmm. they're there to get money and their lives are actually miserable. Mm-hmm. And many of those people are trafficked mm-hmm. that are in those pornography videos. Mm-hmm. So it is so important that we open our eyes and take really strong stands in protecting ourselves, our marriages. Mm-hmm. I've had people ask me, Sarah, what kind of man buys a girl? Mm-hmm. And honestly, my answer is a little bit brash, mm-hmm. but I have to bite my tongue and say, I hate to say it, but your husband or yes. your neighbor or somebody yeah. in your family, because it is not just one segment of population that no. is into buying sex.
No.
It's been around for since the beginning of time, I understand that. But I do believe that the rate of exploitation has increased because we have stepped as a culture and society so far away from really filling up that hole in our heart that screams, fill me up with the love of God.
Yeah.
And we have allowed it to be filled up with yeah. all these other issues
yeah.
that makes yeah. us vulnerable for buying sex, which is the yeah. ultimate expression of intimacy.
Yes.
Is sexual relationship.
Yes.
And so God wants intimacy with us on such a level and yes. such a conversation with us in relationship yeah. daily through the Holy yeah. Spirit that we recognize that all of those false ways that the enemy has created to fill that void are going to hurt us and others.
Yes.
And others.
Yes. Yes.
And the number one people it's hurting is children.
Yeah.
Children.
Yeah. Yeah.
The most innocent.
Yes.
Yes. Are being exploited.
Yes. And I will never forget, and I think that this should just be a huge wake-up call, but I met with another minister right when we first heard about that there was something like sex trafficking going on, which you're like, what? Like, there's really people that do this and this, you know. But so my husband and I met with a ministry in Atlanta, and they took in women that had been from abusive homes, but they started to reach out into the sex trafficking and, you know, rescuing girls from sex trafficking. And so my husband and I met with him and had lunch, and I very ignorantly said, are the victims from the inner city, from poverty areas? And he said, oh no, they're from suburbs just like you live in, Aline.
Right.
Because these kids, some of them, they're starved of love. You know, you talk about the root of money. I mean, the love of money being the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. I mean, their parents are so busy and so, you know, and he said, it doesn't take much when somebody needs that affirmation of love.
Right.
And it was like a huge aha moment mm-hmm. about, and, you know, psychologists say that that sense of belonging, that need to be loved, is greater than mm-hmm. the need for food and water. And it was Mother Teresa that said, and I'm not going to get her quote exactly right, but you can Google it and find it. But she said, you know, and she's great respect for her because she's certainly, you know, interacted with humanity close to the heart of God. And she said the greatest hunger today is not disease. It's not this. It's not that. It's not poverty. The greatest hunger is the hunger of love. And the West is suffering greatly.
Yeah.
And so yeah. She said, you know, she was working with people in the poverty, in communities in poverty. And I bet you've experienced this when you've gone on your mission trips. But when our family went on a mission trip together in Belize, I saw a lot of poverty, but I saw a whole lot of love in those communities too, between right. the people.
Yes.
And I think here in the West, you know, we are starved of that love, and that it's creating this void, and the void creates a vacuum, and these children are being taken advantage of through right. that. So, and if you've heard my dog Sadie snoring in the background, which sometimes, you know, you all do, she has been.
She's
Sadie,
so sweet.
Come here. Anyway, so little comic relief, but yeah. So with that, what would you say to as far as protecting our children, and then also number two, what can women do to be a part of the solution? I think that, well, so let's just talk about as parents with our children and with the internet, because right. it is like, you know, everybody has phones, and here's yeah. like the key to the world, and, you know, pornography is so easy to get to.
Right.
And
pornography really rewires our brain.
Does
so
it,
this okay. is not just something that you're looking at and having a little sexual encounter with. There is a process of rewiring our brain mm-hmm. to, and it gets to the point where people can no longer get turned on by human contact. So
wow.
there's lots of testimonies on the internet about that. I've worked, and I've had uh-huh. several of my really good friends discuss uh-huh. their addictions with pornography and uh-huh. how ultimately ends up really destroying the sexual relationships with their
mm-hmm.
spouses.
Mm-hmm.
Not just on an emotional level, but also on a physical level. Mm-hmm. And of course, so many issues that, mm-hmm. that come out through sex addiction. And it is progressive for a mm-hmm. lot of people. A lot of mm-hmm. people that view pornography end up buying.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to take pornography really seriously. I know,
yeah,
you
I
know,
agree.
As parents, it is uber important that we have conversations, and let me state, loving conversations with our
mm-hmm.
kids. In our society today, the last thing our kids need is for us to start shaming them
yeah.
for being mm-hmm. into pornography, or if you find pornography or
mm-hmm.
sexting on your child's phone. We have got to approach this with love. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, the world is already trying to lure them with their version of love, which is fake and painful. And if we don't come at this with all efforts and everything focused on how can I address this with my child with the love of God so that he is not shamed or she is not shamed, because girls are also addicted to porn too. And yet we develop a deeper understanding of relationship through this, because ultimately that's what they're looking for, right? Intimacy. Yeah. They're trying to understand how their bodies work. And ultimately, unfortunately, it's rewiring their brain for perverted sexuality and affecting them physically. So I think lovingly addressing this issue, every parent needs to talk to their kids about it. And not, oh, have you ever watched pornography? Or have you ever experienced sexting? I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but we need to get in the real world. I'm sure there's got to be at least one or two kids that haven't. But honestly, they all have. Because if they have an iPhone or they have an, any access to the internet, pornographers actually target our kids. They start targeting them at age 6 to 7. I've had to work with parents totally broken over their second grader who was starting an addiction with pornography, a little girl. And so this is something that is very legitimate. But if we shame our kids through that, and we don't really openly dialogue.
That's not going to work.
Talking, knowing your kids, knowing what apps are on their phone, really letting them understand the consequences of sexting is really huge too. I know it's a little bit off topic, but not really. And the fact that if an underage child involves themselves in sexting, either receiving or sending, then they have actually promoted child pornography and it's a felony. So this type of situation really needs to be discussed with the parents. All eyes open, being authentic and super loving with our kids.
And I think, too, like, you know, I love how you're talking about this, approaching it with love. Something to, and I think even just approaching it from the fact of, you know, sex is so awesome. Like in God's idea inside of marriage, and you don't want to ruin that for yourself. Like, because, because we don't want this like attitude about sex, like, you know,
don't talk about it.
Don't talk about it, you know, sex inside of marriage or, you know, and all the beauty and awesomeness that can bring. So I love your approach of doing that, and even, you know, starting young, like you're saying, unfortunately, that we
really
have to
start
that.
Young.
The
agenda that is out there is to destroy the God-given identity of our kids through their sexuality, and it is so important that we as parents start affirming their giftedness and the beauty of their sexuality, that how God created them at a very young age, because the world is telling them everything opposite. And if we as believers and people who really are seeking to follow after the heart of Jesus, we've got to be super authentic. And we've got to not be afraid to talk about these subjects that might feel really uncomfortable because they are hearing them. They are hearing about it. And if we're not addressing it in our home, then they are getting wrong information.
That will destroy. I mean, they're going to hear about it. So you might as well, you know, start first.
At an age appropriate, with age appropriate content. But I honestly believe that we need to start talking to our kids, laying the foundation in kindergarten. And I hate to say that, but there's so many books in the library. There's so much conversation going on. What my kid talks about in sixth grade and what her friends are discussing is content that, I mean, I'm shocked. I mean, not really, because I know the world we're in, but they are so much more exposed than what we were. So we have to really play catch up, unfortunately. And this is like that big, huge learning gap for us. But we have got to get on the ball as Christian parents and as churches and people in leadership. We have got to start addressing these issues and stop being afraid of them.
I think, too, I think educating our children on what authentic love is, what agape love is, because that was something I don't think I really understood in its entirety until I was 40. Because, you know, love for me was I need to get love from people. And so let me please everybody.
Right.
Okay. Let me earn love. Because I think that's what the world, you know, teaches us. And just like you were saying, jumping back to how people are victimized, that they prey on, I gave you this and so you owe me.
Right.
And I think even now, like if somebody does something for me, there's a part of me that feels like, well, now I owe them, you know.
Right.
But really, you know, love is unconditional, true love. And the Bible says God is love. And so the love that he gives, there's zero strings attached. He's going to love me if I choose him. He's going to love me if I don't choose him. And that's the nature of our God. And because he is love, he defines who love is, not the world. And really not, you know, you might have grown up in a home where, let's say that you were praised for your performance, like on the tennis court
right.
or on, you know, your grades. And so then I think that translates to a child, you know, I earn love.
Right.
I am good if I do correctly. And I think that, you know, re-educating our kids on what love is will even help them more to choose healthy relationships, to value who they are, and to have boundaries. And a lot of times that's the most loving thing that we can do to other people because, you know,
setting boundaries.
If we had
boundaries,
then you know, that's not enabling somebody to take advantage of us. And I think that was a very that was a hard lesson that I had to learn because I felt like love was, well, I can't say no to people.
Yeah.
And I have to say yes. And
we have to totally retrain ourselves, don't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. So I think, you know, talking to your kids about what is authentic love, what are healthy relationships, why that's important and how, you know, and educating them on pornography in a way that says, oh my gosh, sex is awesome.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Not making, you know, don't look at that. Don't.
Right.
But like sex is incredible. Don't let the enemy ruin it for
exactly.
you by going down this road. You know.
Yeah.
So,
That's good.
So and then can you give our listeners a way that they could help? Because here's the other thing, just as an outside perspective, you know, there really are so many organizations that do sex trafficking. And I can tell you that True Justice International absolutely is worth every penny that you put in. My husband and I send donations to True Justice International. But I think that's part of my thing, too, is that, you know, there's so many women that have answered this cry, praise God,
right.
but wanting to invest, wanting to sow seed into really like solid ground. So True Justice International, and we're going to put that link to the bottom, but do you have any insight into that or how people can get involved?
I think foundationally is prayer because this is a spiritual battle.
Amen.
And for all the years that I led True Justice, I mean, I encountered some major spiritual warfare.
I bet you did.
And the Lord had a team of prayer warriors around me, intercessors, that really supported me and were able to encourage me through. So I think prayer is huge. Obviously, educating yourself and sharing that education with other people, opening others' eyes.
Yeah.
You know, sending them to this podcast, sending them to the True Justice.
Yeah.
.global website. And then also obviously giving, you know, because nonprofits exist to serve.
Yes.
That's why we exist.
Yes.
And there's a very unique way that I think can connect this message into giving. So when we started the Pearl Ministry, And we still have the Pearl Ministry. It's now underneath the larger banner of True Justice International. So we were sharing that message of the pearl on bracelets. And now those bracelets are made by the survivors in our program. And they come with that same message of the pearl. And that message of the pearl is not necessarily applying to people that have been through the horrific nightmare of being exploited through sex trafficking. But that message of the pearl is for me and for you and for anybody that recognizes, you know what, I have been through something and I want to give it to God. I want to see how He's going to turn this into something beautiful.
Yeah.
And so we have for sale on our website those bracelets. And so what a great way to impact the culture by sharing those bracelets with your friends, sharing that message, donating to the organization. Because as we said at the very beginning, you know what? It is all about God's love.
Yeah.
And it's not a human trafficking problem. It's a love problem. Yeah. So what can we tangibly do? Share God's love with other people.
Yeah. Hey, I want to give all the listeners a challenge. I just thought about this, and this is what I'm going to do because, you know, you think about, like, you know, all the little gifts that you buy for people, and I would much rather have this bracelet than something from some, like, you know, designer store or whatever. What if you got on and you bought whatever, just pray and ask the Lord, like, Lord, how many pearl bracelets do you want me to buy? And maybe you buy one and maybe you buy five, and you just buy what the Lord tells you to give. And then you receive that pearl bracelet and then you begin praying. You begin praying for people, pray for True Justice International, pray for, as Sarah talked about, people that are involved in this, but also pray, Lord, give me somebody to give this to. And then you give them the pearl, then when, and the Holy Spirit, and you know that He will do, the Holy Spirit will say, that person.
Yes.
And you can say to them, the Lord has just laid it on my heart to share this with you. You can, I'm thinking about a woman right now that's inside of abusive marriage, and I'll be sending her one. You could send it in the mail and say, I just want you to know, you know, that God loves you, and you know, you can wear this bracelet with courage. And so then not only are you praying for people in sex trafficking, you're giving financially, you're giving these, the women who have been rescued, financial income, and you're spreading the message.
Right. And you know so what that's else you're doing? Challenge. And I want to add this in because this is another amazing part when God gave me the vision of this pearl message and the bracelets.
Yeah.
So for every pearl bracelet that is bought, it comes with another bracelet that is given. It is given to a girl that is trapped in human trafficking, and she gets a message of hope with that bracelet. And especially at the conferences that we do, the public speaking engagements, Christians can write out a prayer for those women. And then it is coupled with that bracelet, with the message of the pearl. We've translated it into many different languages. Those bracelets are in like 40 nations around the world.
Wow.
And they are used as ministry tools for other organizations. We love to give.
Yeah.
We're givers, you know.
Yeah.
So that is such a huge... And you can't outgive
God. Nope. You cannot outgive God.
Yep.
You cannot... I mean, when you sow into what God is doing, you really cannot outgive Him.
Yeah.
And I am like so excited about getting these pearl bracelets because I knew that you had them. I don't think I understood the magnitude of the ripple effect. And I think sometimes that when we hear about a sex trafficking problem, it's so overwhelming, it's so dark that we're like, well, what can I do? And what we need to understand is that God calls the body of Christ to pray. Luke 18:1-8 is one of my favorite stories that Jesus tells about the woman that kept crying out for injustice. And, you know, and he says, I want to see people praying like this. And so I want to challenge you to take the pearl challenge. I'm going on today and I'm getting my pearl bracelets. And I'm putting them in my car, and I'm putting them in my purse, and I'm going to start every week praying, Lord, just show me who you want me to send this to, and I'm going to start spreading the word out, because this ministry is worth sowing into. This is the real deal. And gosh, what a inspiring morning to spend this with you. And even just as a mom, you think about, your girls, but I just thought, praying over my boys, that they would just understand that they are to use their strength to love and to protect women. Yes. And, and just to guard them from, just, the enemy's tactics. And he's evil and he's mean, but love triumphs over evil. And together we can make a difference. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you for being here
with us today. And at the bottom of the podcast, we're going to have all these links for you. And I'd love for you to tag us back. Let us know if you're doing the Pearl Challenge. Tell us how it's going. You're going to see my pictures on Instagram about the Pearl Challenge. Challenge on.
This is fun.
And all my friends out there, you know what you're getting for Christmas. It's a Pearl bracelet.
No surprises.
Yeah, exactly. And if you would like to get into contact with Sarah, I feel like just her life story and her message. She does public speaking. She could come to your church. She's coming to a church in Whiteville, North Carolina. We're going to have her email, her personal email and contact information also at the bottom. And there's my other dog. Sorry, y'all.
So cute.
you'll be able to. That's my dog saying you better reach out and call her. But she, I just have so enjoyed spending this time with you, and I know that our listeners will as well. So thank you so much for joining in. And I have exciting news. Sarah is also going to do a follow up podcast with us on biblical meditation and holy yoga. So listen out for that and watch out for it. Sarah, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you for having me. It's been beautiful.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for listening in, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.